So this is the last week of our series that we have been through on marriage. And what we are going to deal with today is we're going to deal with an issue that's rarely talked about, but it's very real. And that is that sometimes marriages don't last. And although that is an acknowledged truth, it is also an unspoken truth. A lot of times in churches, but divorce is real. If I asked you, if you have been affected by divorce in some way in your life, either yourself or someone in your family or even a close friend, I don't believe there would be a hand down in this room. So as we close this series, the question that we're going to be dealing with today is this: what does a follower of Jesus do when divorce happens? What should they want to do when the last thing they ever wanted to happen becomes their reality? And with each week of this series, I've been challenging you to make a choice that would be in alignment with what it is that God wants for your life. And the choice that I want you to make this week, if you have dealt with a broken marriage, is this: to choose better over bitter. And to do that, we're going to have to talk a lot about grace and truth. Now let's start with truth. And let me just say, what I'm about to read sometimes is hard for people who have been through a divorce to hear. Malachi chapter 2, this is what the prophet shares with us from the Word of God. Here is another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping, and groaning because He pays no attention to your offerings and doesn't accept them with pleasure. You cry out, "Why doesn't the Lord accept my worship?" I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young, but you have been unfaithful to her. Though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife in body and spirit? You are His. And what does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth, for I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. So let's begin with this truth. And that is, God hates divorce. Now, why does He hate divorce? Because God loves marriage. And anything that goes against or destroys or damages what God is for, and God is for marriage, then He is against that thing that tries to distort that. Marriage is a gift from God, and God has a huge purpose for marriage, as we have been discussing in this series. It is God's solution of dealing with the alone problem, of bringing two together to become one, and in so doing, reflecting the very unity of the Trinity of God Himself. We have said before that another purpose in marriage is that marriage is God's billboard to display His covenant faithfulness to His church. In Christian marriage, we display to the world the fidelity, the faithfulness of Jesus and what He has toward His church. You see, the thing that really matters to God, as the prophet said in his own words, it is the next generation. And so God has ordained and He has blessed marriage as the best possible way to raise up the next generation. Bottom line, God does not take lightly people that take marriage lightly. Now that's the truth. As a church, we cannot shrink back from preaching and teaching that truth. We have to say marriage matters to God. As a pastor, a lot of my time, especially recently, is spent trying to build up and save marriages. I know that that is the ideal, but there is also the real as well. And the reality is divorce does happen. And oftentimes it happens against the wishes of one of the partners. And that's where grace has to come in. The truth is that God hates divorce, but it is equally true, this is grace, God does not hate the divorced. And you need to hear that. Nowhere in the text that we read does God say, I hate people that have been through a divorce. God is always on the side of the wounded. God is always on the side of the wrong. Honestly, He is always loving the sinner. And the church should be too, because we are trying to follow in the way of Jesus. And no one who has ever lived a more perfectly balanced life of both grace and truth has lived other than Jesus. And He never compromised either. He could say to a woman caught in the act of adultery the truth, go and sin no more. And He could share with her the grace, I am not here to condemn you. So what I am hoping you hear this morning are both the words of grace and truth. And although the truth that God hates divorce is real, and we can agree with God on that truth, it complicates everything. It makes everything more difficult. It impacts every single one of your relationships, in particular, the children who can carry that for a lifetime. But frankly, it is very important that we agree with God on this truth, that divorce is not good. Married people need to be reminded of this truth. God hates divorce and God loves marriage. Divorce is not the solution that the world tells you it is. When a person gets divorced, especially if they are not wanting this divorce to happen, and it's being forced upon them, fear begins to creep into their hearts and their minds. And one of the biggest fears is, if there's children involved, what is this going to do to my children? Will they be irreparably hurt by this? And most parents have children because they believe that God is blessing them and they want to protect them. But when divorce happens, it's something you cannot protect them from. Another big fear, and this is especially true for many women who are getting divorced and they don't want that divorce. They begin to think in their mind and their heart, how am I going to be able to do this? How am I going to be able to carry all of this load by myself? And those fears can literally cripple and overwhelm a person. And many who go through this experience can end up becoming mean, hard people, bitter people, because they didn't want it, but they had to go through it. And that is not how they saw their life going. But here is the thing. Just as marriage is a series of choices that you must make, divorce presents you with a big choice. To choose better over bitter. And that, my friends, is very hard. And at times, it may even be moment by moment that you have to make that choice. You need to begin to limit the ability of your mind to go in certain directions, places where you begin to think along these kinds of lines. You know, things would have been so different if he had not. My life would have been so much better if she had not. And what you do is you take those thoughts captive and you stop them in their tracks. We're just coming off of Thanksgiving. Always finding a way to be grateful is the perfect counteraction to thoughts like those. Sometimes you have to dig really deep to be able to get there. But even if it is not the life that you ordered for yourself, gratefulness is the response to darkness. And listen, if you have experienced divorce, hear this so clearly, please. Your identity is in Christ, not as a divorced person. As a follower of Jesus Christ, divorce is not your prime identity. You need to live on mission and look forward, not backward. And for those of us who have friends who have gotten divorced, we need to let those people have time to grieve in that experience. And saying something to a friend who has gone through a divorce and maybe it's been months and they're still hurting, to say, well, just get over it. That's not helpful. Healing from divorce can take a long, long time. It is essential for those of us who have friends who have been divorced to bring them into our families, to love them, to offer them grace and truth, to be present, to be truthful, to be grace-filled. And to the divorced person, I would say this to you. This is the truth. Confess the truth about your past. What does God want you to learn from your failed marriage? What does God want you to own from your failed marriage? Maybe the Spirit will reveal some attitudes and some actions in your heart that God is wanting to change. Part of that process, by the way, is forgiveness. It's something, honestly, that cannot be rushed. But for the follower of Jesus Christ, it is not an option. And I cannot tell you, well, this is what it looks like to forgive your ex. But I can tell you that when forgiveness is given, you are the one who experiences the most freedom in that act. Where you see the areas in your life where you were a part of the hurt, a part of the wounds, a part of the breakdown, repent. Part of repentance is actually recognizing the truth about your own self. But if you don't own any responsibility, this divorce was not on your plate. This isn't something that you wanted. You went through this. You experienced this much against your own desires. Well, then you can still own responsibility for your heart. It is something that you need to guard, and it is something where you need to choose better over bitter. And you can. You see, there's nothing in our past that is more epic than the love of God. And that leads me to the final thought this morning. And this is grace. Receive God's grace for your future. God is always going to hold up the ideal. But God is always going to stoop down to those who don't meet the ideal. Guess what? That's every single person in this room. That's all of us. All of us have failed the ideal, and God stooped down to all of us. You see, you are not defined by a love on this earth that did not last. You are defined by a love that is outside of this earth that will last forever. Life is messy. And there are no simple rules to follow to clean all of that up. I remember hearing this years ago. The difference between a problem and a mess is a problem can be fixed, but a mess can only be redeemed. Every one of us has some mess in our lives, and it can't be fixed, but it can be redeemed. And you know what? That's God's choice. Being divorced does not make you a second-class Christian. Your history is not who you are. What has happened to you is not who you are. This is who you are. You are God's beloved son or daughter, whom he sent his son Jesus to die for. That's who you really are. And with that truth, and that grace, you can march into the future with confidence because you know everything that you actually need to know. I am God's beloved. So why don't you stand up? I'm going to pray over you this morning. Father, I pray that this discussion is helpful, that it's healing, and I pray that the words were wise and from you, and I prayed that they honored you first and foremost. And thank you, Father, for the way that you will use, can use, and want to use all who have been through a divorce. You waste nothing. No pain, no trauma, no hurt, no person. You waste nothing. And you know how to redeem messes. And help us today, wherever we are, to receive your grace. And help us to be models and proclaimers of that grace and truth to this world. You are the God who picks and chooses messy people and makes them family. We love you, Jesus.